Hey, everybody. Welcome into this episode of the Super Sumo Brothers podcast. I'm here, as always, with Andrew, my brother.
Hey, everyone.
And we're going to be talking about the September Basho, the Aki Basho, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct.
So we last spoke. It's been, obviously, I think it was day two was our last episode. And we usually like to do a little in-between episodes, but we've been pretty busy. So we're going to be covering a lot this episode. And I just want to start. I'm going to start at the end. I'm going to Tarantino this. And we'll start with the ending here. So there's going to be spoilers and all that, just to be warned. So if you don't want any spoilers, if somehow you haven't heard the results yet, you can stop listening. But Shodai, coming up big, winning the Basho.
Yeah, you know what? There's a part of me who's kind of surprised, and then there's a part of me who's not, considering his last couple tournaments, he was pretty consistent. He was 8-7 and 11-4, and he was, even before then, he was 11-4 and 13-2, and there was a part of me who's like, I just want to see another Ozeki.
Yeah.
So, I'm not surprised at the same time, kind of am, and it's his first Yusho, which is always great for a guy to win his first time, so...
Yeah, he's had, you know, the last, his previous four tournaments have been pretty good, minus the March Basho.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got the number, excuse me, the number. So that's what, 13, 11, and 13, and 8 in there. So he's definitely has the amount of wins you're looking for a promotion to Ozeki.
Yeah, and I think by the time this gets posted, it might already be out that he has been recommended for Ozeki promotion. I think that's going to be 32 total wins, if I'm doing the math correct. Yeah, 32 wins, and 32 is right where they want you. I mean, plus he won the Yusho, so that's...
Yeah, he won the Yusho, yeah. Even without... I think that's what we were saying in the last episode, if I'm remembering correctly, is that he would have to... If someone was going to be promoted to Ozeki, they'd have to win the Yusho at this point because there's no Yokozuna to fight.
Correct, and we were looking at Mitakeumi early on, and you know he's had a good last two tournaments, and that's kind of where my pick was going with him potentially becoming the Ozeki before Shodai. But yeah, I mean, with 13 wins, winning the Yusho, and I mean, he didn't look bad really at all. Even his two losses, he still looked really good. So yeah, no, it's good to see what is likely to be a third Ozeki come November.
Yeah, and speaking of Ozeki, Asunayama started strong, and weak. He was 0-3 actually.
Yeah,
and then finished 10-5, which is. Pretty good.
Yeah, which it's funny because last episode I had said for both him and Taro Fuji, who were both 0-2 to start the tournament, I said bouncing back from 0-2 is pretty hard. So I will take back that statement because Asunayama went on to get 10 wins and Taro Fuji was looking pretty good and then he pulled out with an injury late.
Yeah.
He got his eighth win and then lost one and then pulled out. So I don't know if that was just that, you know what, I got my eight wins. I'm likely to be promoted up into Senyaku, so I'm just going to pull out. But I will eat my words when I said that coming back from 0-2 is pretty hard because they both finished with good records and they're both vets too. So it's not like it's unexpected.
He did have two walkover wins.
That's true. He had.
So, I mean, out of that 10, two were given to him.
Correct. So he had some rest going into the last handful of days. That's why I'm kind of surprised that he ended up losing the last two, Asunayama, because he had those 2 days off where it was just, you know,
well, he did fight the two. He fought on day 12 and 13 and then lost on 14 and 15.
Yes, 14 and 15, yep.
But he had the day 8, it was a walkover win, and day 10 was a walkover win.
Yeah.
But he did start 0-3, like we were saying, or, you know, it was 0-2 or 0-3 at the time, yeah. which was the first time he'd actually done that ever. As far as I can tell. So, yeah, it was kind of surprised, but that's really good to see from an Ozeki. I think starting out, getting kind of beat up in the first few days to come back and win, you know, 10 in a row.
Especially since in the last tournament, he kind of had that losing Basho hangover where I was like, oh no, he's like 0-3. Is he thinking too much about last tournament? Is this a major concern of his? Like, he lost and he could have won last tournament. So now this is his result. He's thinking too much about it for these first 3 days. But yeah, and then he just went on to win the next, you know, 10 in a row.
Yeah, winning 10 in a row. I think that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Because that, yeah, that's the kind of thing you want to see. You know, obviously you can't win every single one, but and to go through, you know, the guys he went through too, like Hokuto Fuji is no pushover. Let's see, Tochinoshin obviously is is always up there. Okunomi at the at that time, I mean, he didn't have a great tournament, but he was pretty highly ranked. And Matakiumi.
Yeah.
So he went through some legitimate fighters to get those 10 wins in a row.
Yeah, and yeah, there's it was nice to see that. Yeah, that he bounced back. And then even on the other side, like Takakesho had a great tournament as well. Having, you know, having both those Ekis there in the end, because Takakesho, technically, he came in second. He had 12 wins to Shodai's 13. But yeah, I mean, Takakesho had an excellent tournament as well, which was
a good. He looked good in all his fights, too.
He did. And that's why going into the last couple of days, I was like, there's a real good chance that Takakesho could take this. I think Shodai was just performing way too well for that to happen. And then, I mean, the top leaderboard was also just cluttered. There was a lot of guys going into like the last 5 days. But yeah, to see the Ozekis have great records, and then now with Shodai joining them, I kind of looked at this and I'm getting excited. I'm like, could this be another core group?
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing too.
Like I don't want to get too excited about it where it's like, okay, like, you know, we always talk about like the good old days for us, which is like 5 years ago, but it was Kasino Sato and Kota Shukiku and Guido and Taro Fuji. And it was like, those four guys were in there for a very long time. But like lately it's been, you know, one guy going up and then coming back down. Like we've had Tochinoshin, Guido should have been out, but he retired. Takayasu, you know, then you've had people bounce up and down. And I'm excited to see if there's just going to be like a steady group of three or four guys that'll just set the pace, especially with the questions on, you know, the Yokozuna, like what's their future?
Yeah. Like both of them pulling out this tournament is a pretty big deal. I feel like for both of them to just be straight up out of it.
Yeah. I figure there's a chance that I thought one of them could come back, but I mean, Hakuho is nothing ever going to happen to him. I can't imagine they ever forced him to retire. But like Hakuru, we had this discussion many episodes in a row now. It's like, you're getting into that territory where
if this is sort of Fuji territory. If he doesn't show up next tournament, out for some reason. This is Kasino Sato. Territory.
Exactly. Where it's like, you'll be forced to retire. You can't perform well. That's the expectation. And they'll have to figure it out, because it'll be weird not to have two Yokozuna up there.
And I'm looking at Takakesho's record over the last year, and the last time he was 12-3 was last September, actually.
Maybe he's just got something for September is where he shows up, which would be very surprising because it's very hot and muggy and disgusting in that arena.
The weather. September is gross.
Yeah.
And, I mean, again, he beat people, as you would expect, in Ozeki, fighting the upper-ranked guys, people who are no pushover. I mean, he beat Taro Fuji, Asuyama on the last day. Shodai, he did lose, too. But Tobizaru was a big fight on day 14.
Yeah,
that was a huge fight.
Yeah. And I thought Tobizaru, it was going to be one of my talking points later on, too, was just the amount of rookies or like rookies within last year, I think have been very good, but Tobizaru, he tore it up. Where I'm getting really excited to see what, I think he'll get a huge jump in rank. He's 14 in September, so he'll probably go up to like 2 or 3 potentially.
Yeah, I would imagine with how they're bringing people up. Yeah, I would say 2 or 3.
So, you know, yeah. So like that was a big fight on day 14. So,
and I think so. What got me thinking? So Tobizaru is like one of like the, he's not I wouldn't call him a slim guy, but he reminds me a lot of Harumo Fuji.
He does have the Harumo Fuji build. Yes, I agree.
Where he's like, he's not huge, but he's like he is big. Like, he's obviously bigger than like an Enho.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. But he's not quite, I mean, he's far from even like a Kodo Shikiku or an Ichinojo. So like he's agile and big. And I think that's becoming the norm here. Like there are very few, like I'm going to make a hockey analogy, not really an analogy, but a comparison here. You know, like the day of the grinder is essentially gone in hockey. You know, that big guy who's not going to score a lot of goals, but he's big and can push people around. Sumo, I think, is they're also like the Ichinojos of the world are no longer, or like even the Kaiseis and things like that. They're not over the last 8 years that I've been watching, like they're not as prominent anymore.
Yeah,
it's these smaller rookie guys like you were talking about, like the Waka Takakages.
Mm-hmm. That was my next point too. That was another young guy who's a smaller, not small as Enho small, but is that Haruma Fuji build where he's not so much. It almost seems like there's more muscle and more technical. But yeah, like Waka Takakage had a great tournament. Another guy who's about the same size as Tobi Zaru.
Exactly, they're about the same build. I was like, when I was watching them fight, I was like, these guys are pretty much the same. Like, and they both had great tournaments.
Yeah.
Koto Nowaka is roughly the same size too. He's younger, so I think he'll get better as things go on. But
yeah, there's the medium range guys. I think are going to be, could potentially be the future.
It's like skill and speed is kind of outweighing strength and weight. Taruna Fuji, I think, might be the last great, you know, heavy hitter, so to speak.
And I'm looking at, because like we kind of gave that 8 year window where I'm like, that's about the same time. I mean, Hakuho is probably, he's way longer than 8 years ago, but like Hakuho doesn't have that big guy build. He's got that technical speed, medium sized body, but he's got, so like maybe Hakuho could have influenced how people trained, where it's like,
I agree.
You might not have to go, we might have to go bigger. Now it's more about being more technical, quick on your feet. Mm-hmm. You know, it's no longer just like, I'm a bigger guy and I'm going to get you out of the ring.
It's so like a changing of the guard kind of,
where he kind of influenced the next generation of wrestler, and like, you know what, we want to be like Hakuho. It's like, I'm gonna, now once again another sport reference where it's like, I want to be like Tom Brady, so let's do all this like herbal, you know, doing all this other bodily things and changing the way we think about sports in general. So but yeah, maybe Hakuho had some kind of influence. Just interesting that, you know, that's becoming the norm.
And guys like, you know, like Mataki Umi's a bigger guy. And, you know, he's struggling against these smaller guys. And I mean, as far as big, like Shodai is bigger than Mataki Umi. So obviously can't just throw the weight thing out the window yet. I don't know. I think it's interesting. I think in the next 3 to 5 years, you'll probably see a lot more of the Waka Takakages or like the Onoshos even. Like those guys are,
Onosho's a little bit bigger.
He's 157 kilograms. I'm looking at it right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you compare that to Mataki Umi even, who's 172.
Yeah.
So he's not a large guy.
Yeah. I think also like height might have a lot to do with like weight distribution, how much they weigh too. Cause some of these guys you look at, it's like, that's a big dude. But then it's like, well, that other guy's the same weight, but he's taller. So it kind of distributes a little bit more.
Yeah, and like, so I mean, Waka Takakage is way smaller than both the guys I mentioned at 129 kilograms.
Mm-hmm.
So he's it's that range where I think is, that's where the new, you know, the new upper rank guys, because you got to imagine too, you're not carrying all that weight around. Mm-hmm. So it's way easier to, you know, not get injured. Theoretically, you know, like you're a little more agile if you're dropping, you know, 5-6 feet off the dohyo there, or whatever the measurement is, I'm not even sure. You know, landing on one knee with only, you know, 300 pounds instead of 450, it's probably less strain on your ligaments and joints and such. So, I would say it lends to a longer career. It probably makes more sense.
No, I completely agree. Yeah, there's, and just looking at all the weights in general, a lot of guys are a lot on especially the newer guys are on the lighter side. Like you look at some of the veterans who have been in for a while, like Oyama, 192 kilograms. You have, you know, Kaisei 187, and then Ichinojo is 183. But some of these younger guys who are winning are much lighter. And I think we've proven that, you know, it's been proven that you don't need to be a big guy to win. But
yeah,
I think Enho's height could be a problem.
Yeah, I think
with height, like I think height is probably going to be the bigger issue more than like weight, essentially.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, so new guys coming up, I like it. It's some good stuff on day five. Again, we're not going to go day by day here, but that Endo Okinomi fight was insane. I think if there's if you're new to sumo or you're just kind of, you want to get excited about the sport, this is day five, September Basho 2020 is a fight you'd want to watch. It was an endurance fight for sure. It wasn't one of those over in 15 seconds kind of things. There was a lot of moving around. It wasn't just them hugging the whole time either. There's a lot going on there.
Yeah, and I think with one thing you notice, especially over the last couple of tournaments where there's less fan sound and stuff like that, you can really hear how much endurance and, like, you can hear how tired they get so quickly, and you can, like, hear their heavy breathing. And for fights that go this long, it's very impressive. Just, like, you hear that, and you're like, wow.
Yeah, the Tachi Eye sounds horrifying. So those times.
Every time I hear it, I'm like, that's just, you know, it sounds super uncomfortable, so.
And, like, the days of Yoshikaze, I would have liked to have heard that in an empty arena, because he was always leading with his face or his head.
Yeah, that's so. Why, yeah, he'd always walk away with gashes on over his eyebrows, and he'd come back the next day with like stitches and a band. Like, he was always a mess. But yeah, he'd left with his face quite a bit, or he'd just like hit with his shoulder and then like grind his face up against it. And yeah, Yoshikaze did a lot of leading with his face. So.
So I see, I actually didn't even realize this. I don't know how I glossed over this, but Enho ended up pulling out at some point.
Yeah.
So, or Endo, sorry.
Yeah. Endo pulled out. I forget the exact day that he pulled out. He pulled out. Yeah. It was late in the tournament. I think he pulled out the same day as Taranobu.
Day 13 or well, day 12, he officially pulled out and gave Taka Keisho a walkover. But,
I forget what his injury was, but I mean, he was performing pretty poorly at that time.
Yeah, he'd only had three wins up until day 12.
And once again, we've talked about this with Endo, where you want him to do so well, and like fans expect him to do so well, but he's so up and down, he's so inconsistent that it's like hard to get excited about him. Where it's like, oh, is he the next, you know, Ozeki? And when we saw him come up, I think everyone was talking about Endo being like the next thing.
And
he really hasn't lived up to it, but we've seen that with a bunch of guys, like the next thing, like even Enho, who finished 6-9 this tournament, like he's had three losing tournaments in a row.
Yeah, and he's like, he's a fan favorite for sure.
Yeah, and he was supposed to be like, I remember we were watching matches, and it was like, oh, keep an eye on Enho, and like as he makes his way through like Makishita, and then it was like Juryo, and now he's up here with the skilled guys, and it's just like, can he still compete?
It seems like there's a really big just like skill gap between, like, unless you're a veteran from Akuchi down in Juryo, it seems like the Juryo guys are even like, you know, again, to make a United States sports analogy, it's like MLB versus almost like double A.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like it's even lower than triple A at some points. It's weird. It just seems like there's a really big skill gap.
Yep.
And then, like, the guys who are really, really good, like, fly through the ranks, you know, and it's weird.
Because I was looking, because obviously we both admitted beforehand, like, we weren't familiar with, like, Tobi Zaru and, like, Wakataka Kage. I've been following for just probably, like, a year and a half when I heard the story about, like, his, you know, him trying to get higher than his brother, and his brother's been wrestling longer than him. And, you know, speaking of his brother, I'll touch on him a little bit later. But, like, I looked at how quickly they had climbed through, and it's like, Tobi Zaru has only been pretty much wrestling since 2015, but then like Wakataka Kage has been up, I think, only 2017. So he went from bottom rank to where he is now to almost winning a Yusho in 2 years. So
yeah,
it's two and a half almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, about 3 years actually. But yeah, some of these guys you see just climb through the ranks and you're like, wow. And he's competing better now than he was at the lower ranks.
I think Wakataka Kage and Tobi Zaru are two guys to watch. Like, big time, I think.
Yeah.
Tobizaru's face when he lost that match on day 14 was like, crushing.
Yeah, it was that. It was like, the face of Lot, where it's like, wow.
He was like almost crying. I felt bad. I was like, oh no, like.
That would have been a great story for a guy to come up at your first tournament in the top division, and then you come in and you win. And he faced some guys late in the U show where.
It was a good fight too. It was like it was back and forth. That Takakesho Tomozaru fight was really really good on day 14.
Yeah, and you know, he had like he ended up facing. You know, he even went up against, like, even after losing to Takakesho and kind of getting off the leaderboard, he still had to face Shodai. Because usually it's like, oh, you're pretty much off the leaderboard. We're just going to...
Yeah, we'll put you back down on the bottom. But
yeah. Yeah, but no, they put him up. And both of those matches were competitive, and they were like measuring points for when they're going to look at rank and be like, you know what, this guy's good. We're going to bump him up a little bit. He competed, like... You know, because he got Magashira 1, Noseki 1, and Sekiwake 1 last 3 days.
Yeah.
So.
He was definitely, yeah, they were challenging him, and I think that's good because that eliminates the whole asterisk thing where it's like, oh, well, he was Magashira 14. Like,
yeah,
was he just fighting, you know, did he fight all Magashira, you know, teens to get where he's at? Or did he, you know, actually... fight some of the upper rank guys, and he did. Yeah. And he looked pretty good in all of those fights.
And I think now that we've seen with the Yokozuna pretty much being irrelevant over the last handful of tournaments, I think I'm kind of starting to become okay with. Is like we at one point we were trying to like measure this where it was like strength of schedule. Like, you know, the Patriots every year has the strongest strength of schedule because they face the weakest division. It's like, but I think they do a good job at. With balancing that out where it's like, oh, this guy's doing pretty well. Let's put him up against, you know, like day 10, it was like, okay, let's shoot him up to a mid range single digit guy with Ryuden, like who wasn't performing well at the time. And then they see who's performing well and they put him up against it. And then he slowly kind of makes his way up to the higher ranks and fight these guys. And yeah, I think I'm okay with moving on from like, the asterisk where it's like, oh, like if the Yokozunas don't compete, does it really matter? Like I might be almost past that point.
Just like, but still, I think Hakuho is too much of a factor.
Yeah. Like
if Hakuho is in a tournament and healthy, that's a different tournament. That gives one of those guys probably another loss.
Yeah.
Whether it was, you know, Tomozaru, if he even ended up fighting him, or
Shodai would have faced him.
Shodai definitely would have faced him. Like,
yeah,
and that brings him down to, you know, 12 wins. Then you got Takakesho in there vying for it a bit. Obviously Wakatakage, Asanoyama, maybe depending on what happened there. But still, like, I don't know. Hakuho, I think I'm not convinced that he's not a factor, but
yeah, I guess until he's gone, it's he'll always be relevant. Yeah.
But yeah. And then, so to go back to my point about the kind of the bruisers of sumo, we'll call them, with Terunofuji, Fuji, that was kind of surprising to see him pull out. He looked a little, I don't know, banged up, but he looked in control for so long. I wonder what happened. I don't know if anything came out about that.
Yeah, I think they said that it was a re-aggravation of his knee injury. And he had already had his 8 wins, so for him it was like, and this kind of goes with, you know, we'll get into Koto Shugiku in a little bit as well, but where it's like, if things are looking bad, just for the health, like for your health, you might as well pull out. Like if you know the results are going to be bad already, and it, like if he was truly like, hey, my knee hurts, because Terunofuji is going to get a promotion. There was enough guys in Senyaku that had bad records. I mean, all three guys.
He went 8-5-2.
But he'll go up because, I mean, Daisha was 5-10, Okonomi was 4-11, and Endo was 3-9-3.
Yeah.
Those are the three guys that are higher than him. So he'll get a bump by default.
Yeah.
Just based on the fact that those three guys are going to come down. So he'll, like.
And he's a pretty big name, too. So they'll want him in the upper ranks.
Yeah, like. You know, Takanosho will probably go up to Sekiwake. He could slide into West with Mitake, and we may be moving over to East if Shodai goes up to Ozeki. Terunofuji will probably could slot into, he'll probably get Komisubi. And then, like, I'm looking down, I'm trying to find, maybe they do, like, Takayasu. Maybe they bring him up from, like, Magashira 6 to Komisubi, and they stick him right in. I don't know.
That'd be a bold move, I think, from 6.
But like when you look at everyone between them, Takanosho is already, in my theory, he's already promoted up. Tarno Fuji's moved up. Then it's 6-9, 6-9, 2-6-7. I mean, unless you don't fill that slot.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, Daisho is the only Sekiwake to not perform very well.
So. He was actually one of three.
Oh, right. Sorry. I'm looking at the,
looking at the chart. I also did that earlier.
Keep forgetting when Takayumi was a Sekiwake.
Yeah. It's because he has that, like, he has that, like, Ozeki feel.
Yeah. Like, I feel like he can do it. He's just, like, he's I'm glad he at least got eight. Like, yes. So that'll keep him at Sekiwake.
Like, yeah, and he'll like I said, he'll probably move over to East with Shodai being moved up, because I don't think anyone's like and maybe unless they move Takanosho from Magashira 1 to Sekiwake East, but I think they'd rather give it to someone who's already in Senyaku and just move him up one rank and then move Takanosho into Sekiwake.
Yeah, Takanosho will take Sekiwake West. I agree. And Daisho will come out for sure. He'll go probably like Magashira 2 or 3.
Yep. Yeah. And the entire, like, those bottom three Senyaku guys are all going to drop down pretty significantly. I mean, 5 wins, 4 wins, and 3 wins.
Yeah. Endo's going way down. He's probably going to go down to 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Okunomi's going to probably end up in the same boat.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the two Komatsubi spots are wide open. Yeah, I see what you're saying here.
Exactly. So that's why you kind of have to move, unless they choose not to, which for me would be weird. But that the only two guys who are I would consider eligible for the Komatsubi rank would be Takayasu, who my hot take was that he would have more than 10 wins. He hit 10, so I'll take that as a victory.
There you go.
it was between that and Mitakeyomi winning, and Mitakeyomi obviously didn't. So I'll take the Takayasu 10 wins as the hot take victory.
That's a good hot take.
But yeah, and then Kiribayama. He was 9-4, had 2 pullouts. He came back. He fought the last couple of days. But yeah, I don't know. Like, do you try to force someone up into that rank? Do you not? Like, I don't know.
I think you might see one Komatsubi.
There's a chance, but I don't know.
It's just Terra.
Yes. Right. So there's only one slot open. Yeah, Terra and Fuji would go up one rank. And then, yeah, maybe there's a chance that they stick either Takayasu or Kiribayama, and they're just.
Yeah, I guess that's your. Yeah, it's the only way to keep it balanced, really. Yeah. The top five guys were all pretty garbage, for sure. That's interesting. Again, even the nobody really performed well. While the leaderboard was stacked for a while,
a lot of it was lower ranked guys that really filled that leaderboard, which I liked seeing. So, I don't know. But yeah, Magashira 1 through 5 for the most part was. You know, pretty bad.
Then there was, of course, the Koto Shigiku. We have to talk about that a little bit. First injury in the time that I've been watching him, at least.
It's been a very long time since he's pulled out, which when I saw the injury, I was like, oh, I'm hoping it's just something minor, because the weird thing is, at first, I noticed that he usually has tape wrapped around his leg. Like, he has, like, a weird, like, goes over his kneecap and then kind of goes down and wraps around him. So I didn't know if that was like the reason for the injury, is he didn't have the support. So then he like tore his calf, or he sprained his calf is what the injury was. But yeah, he didn't look good coming back.
He looked he was kind of laboring a bit on it.
And I think you could tell from a lot of the fights that people like really, really respected him too.
Yeah.
And I think people like knew exactly who he was. And it was hard. I think that's why we like him so much as a wrestler, is like, he came back and I think he was almost just fighting for fun, but at the same time, it's like, you should have shut it down. You know, you're probably already going to go down to Juryo.
Yeah.
I'm hoping not. I'm praying that they put him at 17 just as a, hey, we're going to give you one more shot. Technically this would have been in Fukuoka. But because the top of Juryo didn't have a ton of guys that could have come up, like, you know, Kota Nowaka will come back up into Makuuchi.
Kota Yuki may crest into 17, but yeah.
There's a couple people who could get promoted up, where I'm just like, I'm hoping that they give Kota Shikiku the benefit of the doubt and they say, hey, we're going to put you at 17. If you retire after this, at least you retire in this division and you don't have to like go out on top, like, or go out on bottom in Juryo. But he does, like, if he just likes fighting, then maybe that's just something he continues with.
I mean, yeah, it seems like his Tachi eyes were good. It was when he started getting...
Yeah. As soon as there was any resistance, like he'd get good contact and, like, push them, but the minute there was any resistance back, yeah, you could just see his, like, his leg, his, he'd just pick up his left leg, and people would just, like, carry him out.
Yeah. I'm glad, I would agree, though. It did look like he got a lot of, like, when he was started backtracking a little bit, people eased up.
Yeah.
Which was, I think that's super cool that people were actually doing that. I think that's a good level. Because if he had, like, if he had to, like, fall out of a ring,
it would have been
on one of those, and or, like, catch himself on that leg, like, see you later.
I think, I think a lot of people were aware of who he is and what he was trying to fight for, which shows a lot more respect than, let's say, like, Tara Nafuji, years back, which I'm still salty about. Yeah. But yeah, like, they were just like, hey, we know who you are. Like, we know you're weak. So they just, like, placed him out of the ring. Hey, thanks for fighting. What was cool is the NHK coverage. They had mentioned in there that Tokushoryu they actually went to the same, graduated from the same high school, obviously a big year difference in age. But yeah, that they went to the same high school, and he was actually, Kotoshugi was his idol, was like someone that he looked up to. And they had a chance to fight. So I wonder how that felt for him to be like, oh man, like, I get to fight someone I look up to, but at the same time, it's not in, like, the perfect state where, you know, he's firing on all cylinders, but I still liked watching his fights as much as the injuries were there. But yeah, I'll give him credit, because I mean, he still fought really well, and his touchy guys were good.
Yeah, I mean, that's always, again, I just reiterate that that's always been the case with him. It's like, that's why I've always liked watching him fight. This doesn't really matter the condition that he's in. It's like, he's gonna do his best, and you know, the most cliche sumo post wrestling match interview.
Yeah.
But he actually does it, and it's really cool.
Yeah. No. I really hope they keep him at 17. But I think I have to be a realist here and just say he's probably going to go down to Juryo.
Probably, yeah. But so moving on from Koto Shikiku, I want to talk about the Hanka City that was this basho.
Yeah, there was quite a few.
There were so many Hankas. And so anyone who may be unfamiliar with the Hanka, it's essentially, so Itachi eyes when they come together and, like, the two sumo wrestlers hit each other. A Hanka is when you go to do that and one of the wrestlers completely sidesteps one of them charging at him and basically just slaps him to the ground.
Yeah. It is a legal move too. So
yeah. It's totally legal. A legal move.
Yeah.
But it is seen as, I mean, when Tochi Noshin did it the second time in a row, I was watching the Japanese NHK broadcast, and the announcers were losing their minds about it. They were like, Hanka! like going crazy. So, like, it obviously is like...
It's almost like taboo. It's a
thing.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah, it's...
it's something you really shouldn't do. And especially since the second day he did it, I think it was the second day in a row, he had done it to Takakesho. It's like, you just did that to an Ozeki.
Yeah. He did it to an upper ranked guy. Yeah, he did.
It's not like this was just some, like, young guy that he was fooling with, you know, hey, you're not ready to be up. No, you did this to an Ozeki. And he's infamous for it. He
did it to Asunayama.
Yeah.
I believe, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And
you could tell when Asunayama got up, he was not happy about that at all.
No. Like, and there was I forget what Twitter account this was. But I follow a whole bunch, so I always forget. I get them all mixed up. But someone came up with a name for Tochi No Shame for him. And it's like, it's a good nickname for him. I don't know why he does it. Desperation, probably, most of the time, where you do it because, like, you want it. And, like, we had other people in this tournament do it, too. And, like you said, I feel like this happened way more often this tournament than before.
Did he hang Asunayama and Mataki Umi? I don't think he got Mataki Umi, did he?
No, so he had back-to-back
days. It was back-to-back.
And one of them was a win, I believe the other one was a loss.
Oh, so yeah, it was Takakesho, then Asunayama. Okay.
Yep. Yep, so he did it to one person, took the win, and then did it again, took the loss, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, so
a
win
and a loss.
But yeah, I mean, that could be like a cultural thing too. Like, I mean, he's from Georgia.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah, I don't know.
It could be the country, not the state.
Yeah.
But it's possible that maybe, you know, you do what it takes to win. But he didn't even get a winning record. Like, even at that point, I don't even think he was close to it. Like, he was still a win or two away, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Tochinoshin. Yeah, when Hinkataka Keisho, he was 3 and 4,
mm-hmm.
And then lost to Asanoyama on day 9. I'm pretty sure it was 7. It was 8 and 9.
Yeah, because I remember one was a win and the other one was a loss. Because I remember they were talking about like, oh, the NHK, the English NHK broadcast, which they usually do close to like 20 hours or so after the initial broadcast of that day, probably close to like 12 to 15. But anyways, had mentioned that, yeah, it's like, oh, he tried to pull this yesterday and today his opponent was ready for it.
It's just, I don't know. The Henka just seems... it's not even like an honor thing to me. I think it's just like it's I don't feel like that's a great idea to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if they're ready for? What if he goes for a Henka? What if do you just not Tachi Ai? Like, yeah. I don't understand. Like, I don't know. Yeah,
and there was some others. Like, I think late day 14, Enho and I'm always indifferent about how I feel about Enho. Like, he was desperate. He needs some wins. He was already going to be demoted, I think, at the time,
mm-hmm.
with his Make Koshi. But, like, I kind of wanted to get excited about Kiribayama, but he also Henka'd on day 14, mm-hmm. or at least what I would consider to be a Henka. And it's just, like, sometimes when people do it, it ruins it for me. Like, I'm sure Kotoshukiku's done it in the past, and I think everyone's probably done it once. It's, like, the frequent flyer kind of thing that bothers me. When someone's done it multiple times, I don't particularly care for it. Like, Tochinoshin has done it a ton. He's, like, almost infamous for it, and even before I can't remember his name right now. Anyways, there was someone who just retired recently, and he was one of the older wrestlers, and he would hank all the time. You know who I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
yeah.
The name escapes me.
Correct. But yeah, like when you do it, when you're such a repeat offender, that's when it starts to bother me.
Yeah. And yeah. So a lot of Hankas this tournament.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Matas too. Just like,
yeah, a lot of Matas.
And just like, hey, you guys started too early. And
like two or three times in a row too. Not even just like once. It was, if it happened, it usually was two or three times.
Yeah, it happened multiple times in the same matches, and it would be like multiple matches in a row where it would happen too. So I don't know if they were just like more strict with it or if it was just, you know, just happened. But yeah, I feel like there was a ton of Matas.
One of the Gyojis was like screaming Tachi Ai. I was digging it. He was like the younger looking one. Mm-hmm. He was like the last 5 days. He was had like the pink I don't know, the pink, the outfit he's wearing. The name's escaping me.
Yeah.
He was just screaming, Tachi Ai! For like ever. It was so cool. I was like, man, people are like getting into this. Like, I feel like that gets people fired up too when the Gyojis are into it.
Yeah, it's going to be so hard to not be excited as like a fan. Like, because they weren't allowed to cheer or scream or anything.
Right.
COVID, so it must be so hard to, like, hear.
Kimono is the word I was going for. I don't know why I couldn't think of
it. No, I'm still trying to figure out the guy we were just talking about a few minutes ago who used to Henka and we didn't like, and he would climb up and down the ranks. But
yeah, it's
going to be hard.
Gyoji's getting excited, I think, builds a little bit of excitement there, which was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
A few other things I saw kind of related to that. I don't know if you noticed on day 11, it looked like Takakesho like dislocated his shoulder.
Yeah.
And then like sat down on all fours until he like could pop it back in or something. It looks gross.
I've watched that a couple times and I haven't been able to figure out because I was watching, is it Raj who does usually the English?
Yeah.
NHK. Yeah. I think he was doing it that day, and he said it seemed like he had the wind knocked out of him, but the way he was, like, flicking his chest.
Yeah, he was, like...
he was trying to put his arm back into place.
It was weird. Like, if he was... I don't know. I feel like you'd be kind of more keeled over if you were trying to catch the wind, you know, get your wind back, but, like...
Correct.
But yeah, he just like sat there on all fours and kept like jerking his upper body. And I was like, what are you doing? Are you puffing your shoulder back in? You complete badass. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, cause he landed on his shoulder before he went out of the, like, he didn't even go out of the ring. He just landed like just super rough. That was super cool.
If it was a shoulder dislocation, you know, props to him for getting up and just snapping it back into place. As someone who's had their shoulder dislocated, it's very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to snap mine back into place, but props to him for being able to do it. And the guy that I was thinking about was Ominishki.
Ominishki, there it is. Yeah, we got it.
I had to look it up. It was bothering me. So this was a live search, but yes, Ominishki. But yeah, seeing that dislocated shoulder, if it was that, was something. But yeah, I'll have to try and take a look again to see if that's what it was. So hard because, yeah, he didn't land on it. So who knows what it actually was.
And he was just down on all fours for so long. I just thought it was kind of weird. But
yeah. And like we've seen guys have like the wind knocked out of them before where they kind of get up and they like you can see that they're heavily breathing. Well, this was more of like a flicking motion. Like I'm going to try and snap this thing back into place. So who knows?
It was pretty sick. Another bit of flair that I noticed on day 12 was Onosho after he beat Terunofuji.
Yeah.
He just kind of like gave like a sick nod. I don't know. It was so cool. It's like these are things you don't usually see in sumo, like guys expressing actual emotion.
Yep.
Pretty rare to see this. And he just manhandled Terunofuji like he had a vendetta against him and then just like nodded to like the audience. Oh, it was so cool.
Yeah. I think I wanted to look back and see if they had like a history together or if in the fight before, if he had like, if it was like one of his stablemates that he had fought prior and he had done something to him where he was like, yep, now I'm sticking it to you. Like, or it could have just been that the fact that Onosho had a great tournament. Mm. And I think when he beat Terunofuji, it could have also been because he got his Kachikoshi that fight too.
Yeah. Yeah. Or no, he had it already, didn't he? Cause that was day 12. Just looking at the chart right now. Onosho beat Terunofuji on day 12, and he became 9-3. So he already had his Kachikoshi.
Onosho?
Yeah.
On day 12, he beat Terunofuji. Oh, Dara, I'm looking right. I'm looking at Terunofuji's record. You're correct.
Gotcha, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know what the reason behind that head nod, but yeah, it was like a... Yeah, that's like sticking...
And then Terunofuji pulled out the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. That's interesting. That was... I don't know. It's... So he fought Terunofuji fought Mitogiru the day before, lost to Takakesho the day before that.
Yeah,
but I mean, Terunofuji was in control despite losing the first 2 days. His next 7 wins were pretty dominant.
Yeah, there was a
he was in control, and I was like, he's gonna win this again.
I also like, I was like, there's a chance that he wins this and repeats. I was like, you know, good on him. Still like the story of him coming back. Not many people can ever do that from everything that he's went through. So already a great story. I think that would have been icing on the cake for him to win it again, as much as I don't like him. Mm. But yeah, it would have been a great story. But yeah, he finished 8-5-2. He's at least got his winning record and he's going to get promoted up.
But yeah, again, yeah, he's just one of the last like big power horse. Like him and Tochi Noshin. Trying to think of some like other bigger just like that rely on power kind of guys, but there's not a ton. Most of them are either just weight or skill at this point.
Yeah, Hakuho might be the other ones that are like
is deceptively strong. Like you don't, you know, I mean, like you look at Tochi Noshin, he's got like bulges on his shoulders and you can tell he's built.
Yeah,
Hakuho, you don't see those that kind of muscle definition, but he I've seen him pick people up and lift them out just like Tochi Noshin does.
Yeah. So yeah, no, I think the like we were saying, the change of guard and size of sumo and maybe strategic might be changing a little bit, but we'll see.
Yeah. So trying to look it over here.
Yeah, I think something else that happened a lot this tournament, I feel like there were a lot of injuries. A lot of guys pulled out, you know, and it was a wide range of injuries. Like Kotoshikiku had his ankle or had his calf. Ishiura, which apparently I didn't realize he was fighting with a fractured right ankle.
Ugh.
Yeah, so he missed the first.
Gross.
When I heard that, I was like, how is he even fighting? But so he was out the first 7 days and then came back, went 4-4 for the last 8.
Speaking of muscle definition, Ishiura is a guy who's ripped.
Yeah, he's ripped.
But he's tiny.
It's the height, and I think people will catch on to that real quick. Like, that's why I think Endo's kind of slowly creeping his way back down the Banzuke.
Yeah.
You know,
but yeah, anyway, continuing. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, it's all good. But yeah, just a whole wide range of injuries. Like, Terunofuji pulled out, Endo had pulled out, Itakayama pulled out. We had
Fuji, of course.
Yeah, there was an early Kiyoka Taisei had pulled out. He apparently, I don't know if he tore his Achilles or he did something early on, but yeah, he pulled out day 5 and he was down. He was Magashira 16. And I think he had a good tournament last tournament in Juryo, if I remember correctly. Yeah, he was 10-5 and Juryo, got moved up to Magashira 16, then had an Achilles injuries. And I forget if it was a tear or not. I'm hoping it wasn't that, because those are typically really bad.
Yeah. And of course you have the Yokozunas who were hurt previously, but just a lot of injuries overall.
Yeah, like Chiyotaru was another one that I didn't mention.
Chiyotaru, I like Chiyotaru. I think he's another one that's been around for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't know. I'd like him to do. He's very noticeable. His belly is like, like one of the most like prominent sumo bellies in existence. So I always know when it's him.
I agree. I think he has a defined belly.
It's very defined. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he pulled out of, like, yeah, there's just a lot of, I mean, September 2 is, again, super humid over there, so I wouldn't be surprised if, like, a lot of this is just, like, fatigue.
Yeah, I'd be interested, because I've done some historical look back. I might go back and just see, like, what month is the most likely for someone to pull out. Like, it could just be, like, this month is just so hard to fight in that I'm just so tired. I'll get my 8 wins and I'll pull out. Or, yeah. You know, I'm injured. I know it's already going to be downhill from here. I'll just pull out. So I'd be interested to see if it is actually like a monthly thing or if it's just bad luck.
Yeah. So I do like to kind of go back down the Banzuke again. Ichinojo finishing. He's got his 8 wins.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a pretty young guy, I think. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he's 93. So he's younger than me. He's like 27.
Yeah. So like,
but he's around been, for a while.
He's been dancing down the bottom for a while, and he's arguably the biggest.
I think he's the second biggest behind Oyama. I think Oyama is. Let me see. I have the weight up here. Oyama is 192.6 kilograms, which turns out to be 424 pounds. While Ichinojo is 183, which is 183 kilos, or 403 pounds. So you got, I think Oyama is the biggest guy. I thought they kept saying Ichinojo was, so I don't know if this weight is 100% accurate.
I'm looking on the website right now. I'm seeing these 198 kilograms. That's Ichinojo.
See, I have him at 183, but that's, are you looking at the actual sumo website?
Yeah, I'm looking at the actual official sumo
site. They probably do the correct weigh-ins. Well, the website that we reference might just keep a general weight at one point for these guys. So that would make sense that Ichinojo is the biggest guy. But he did lose, I think, like 4 or 5 tournaments ago, lost some weight.
Yeah, he has lost a lot of weight. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I don't know, the reason I bring it up is I'm just wondering, like, just from, like, a cultural perspective, like, how long do you sit in this like limbo, because he's been between Juryo and Magashira for a while now. He has a lot of Magashira experience.
Mm-hmm.
Division experience, but like last three tournaments he was in Juryo.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he's got 8-7. It's like, it's almost like it's got to be so painful. He was Magashira 2 in September 2019, last year.
Yeah, and even last year in May, he was Sekiwake 1. So, I mean, he's, like, even look further back, he's been Sekiwake for, like, 3 or 4 tournaments in a row, and, yeah, I don't know.
He's a younger guy. It's like, you know, with Koto Shigiku, you know, he's you know, he's my age, mm-hmm. to make the age comparison there. So he's 36, 37,
mm-hmm.
Going on 38 soon, I believe. So he's...
Actually, in January. Yeah. Right, he's in January.
So his time is, you know, in terms of a sumo's lifespan, his time fighting in the upper ranks is coming to a close. But I don't know. It's like, again, this is just kind of like a cultural discussion, not necessarily a sumo discussion per se, but mm-hmm. like you've devoted your life to this thing and mm-hmm. you're kind of dancing between the pros and the minors. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah.
And he's from Mongolia too. So mm-hmm. it's not like he's a Japanese native or anything.
Correct.
So I just curious as to like what would be going through your head when you're kind of just dancing out the bottom like that for so long.
Yeah. I mean, this could come down to it too, where like, this is their living. So like, this is how they make their money and, you know, so for them, it's like, well, if I'm still in, you know, jury or at bottom of Makushi, like I'm still making some money and, you know, mm-hmm. that's really all I care about. Then, you know, it's a job and I like doing this. So I guess it's not that big of a deal, but
it's just going to be tough with like the culture. You know what I mean? It's just like, because it's so unforgiving, I feel like, just from like an outsider's perspective. You know, it's like everything is very... what's the word I'm looking for? It's like a ranking system. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So it's like when you're constantly jumping in between ranks, I wonder if that like carries over into your stable or how that, you know, carries over to your workout life. Like if you're Magashira 16 one day and then you go 0-15 and you're Juryo 6, like how does that change the culture of where you're training? Like, are you still treated like you're Magashira, you know, 16?
I'm sure there will, like, and I guess this is what we'll see when Koto Shogiku gets dropped down into Juryo, where it's like, well, now Koto's no longer the highest ranked guy in your stable. And yeah. I don't even think he was this tournament. He might have been.
I don't
for the Sadagatake guys.
Yeah.
But like now he'll no longer be that top ranked guy. He'll be down in Juryo where, you know, Koto Yuki, Koto Eiko, Koto Nowaka, and Koto Shoho will all be in the upper ranks. Like I said, once again, praying that he just gets stuck at 17.
Yeah.
I'll say it 1,000 times, and I'll say it 1,000 more. But I don't know. Like, it'll be interesting. I'm sure they look for like they probably still respect like seniority and veteran.
Yeah, it's got to be like the highest rank achieved or something. I would imagine.
Correct. Like, yeah. Like they're not going to look at, you know, the former Ozeki and Yusho winner.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
he's
in Juryo and be like, you're a schmuck now. It's like no. It's still Koto Shogiku, and I think.
Then that's again more to my point is just like, you know, Ichinojo. Mm-hmm. He's never like, you don't want anything. He's been in the Senyaku briefly. Like I don't know. I just feel like that's like Koto Shigiku's earned his keep for sure.
Yes, absolutely.
He's clearly respected by his stable. Mm-hmm. It's just like I gotta imagine it's somewhat volatile. Seems very competitive in a super stable. So
yeah, who knows? And like I said, maybe the money had something to. I don't know, like
going down a rabbit hole here. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's kind of relevant because I had seen a tweet from Sumo follower who had mentioned, because everyone's been asking like how much do these guys make, and I also wasn't aware of how much they made. Mm-hmm. And I believe these are probably accurate because he's a pretty resourceful individual. And Yokozunas consistently make $28,000 a month, which is pretty good.
Yeah,
I mean, that's pretty good.
It's more than I make in a month.
Exactly. Same here. And even like in Makuchi, it's 13.2 is what anyone between 17 all the way up to 1 makes. Like, it's crazy to think that you could be that different and make that much. And then Juryo only makes 10,000. So anyone in Juryo is going to make 10,000.
10,000 a month is still...
That's pretty good.
Nothing to scoff at. You know, it's still more than I make in a month. So...
If you're
living like that lifestyle, it'd be interesting to see like where all that money goes to. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, all right, so I'm making 10,000 a month. Does some of that go to my stable? Is that for like training? Yeah. Like how much of that is like,
yeah,
how much are you actually pocketing?
Well, that, I mean, that's also, that. I wonder if, because I know with, like, that's their base pay, so I don't know if that's just, like, how much they get paid, and then all the, like, I know the envelopes and stuff get broken up, where it's like...
there's other awards and...
Correct, where it's like,
oh... Spirit Award and stuff,
yeah, so it's like, you know, they get those, what we call fat stacks of, you know, huge amount of envelopes, like, that gets broken down where it goes to, like, you, and then you're stable, and then, like, there's, like, a retirement fund or something like that, too, that I think money goes to as well, mm-hmm. or something like that. I thought I remember seeing that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's something along those lines. All right, well, so we should wrap this up with, I will go with, like, your biggest surprise, you know, the biggest disappointment, that kind of thing. If you would you want to start here?
Yeah, I'll take this one. My biggest surprise, I have to say, is Onoshua's bounce back. Because we talked about this in July. We knew he was way more capable of what he was, because he finished 2-13 in that tournament. And then he was a part of the leaderboard going into like day 12 or day 11. And, you know, I'm glad he had that big of a bounce back, because I know that's what he can fight. He finished 10-5, and that's kind of what I was expecting him to finish with in July, and he didn't. So that's my biggest surprise, was that. Biggest disappointment. I don't know. Just the Komisubi rank, I guess, is just, it's still frustrating. Like I've said 1,000 times, I just want consistency, and we're getting that from Ozeki's, and the Sekiwake look really good, but like Senyaku should be pretty stable, and it's just kind of a revolving door right now. So that might be my biggest disappointment. It's just Endo and Okinomi and Daisho's performances.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm probably on a similar page. I think I'll start with my biggest disappointment, just because that's most prominent in my mind, is Mataki Umi for sure. Just he had so many ups and downs. Like he seemed in control the first couple of days, then you lose to guys like, you know, Okinomi, who in of himself is like an up and down wrestler. You lose there. Then you take some wins from guys you need to win against, like Endo. That was obviously a pretty big challenge for him, being up at Komisubi, and you take that win. And then, you know, you lose to guys who ended up not having great records, like Daisho. And, you know, you lose to him. So I don't know. It's just like up and downs with him. And he was so close to the Ozeki thing again. Not so close, but a good tournament. A Shodai caliber tournament would have yielded him an Ozeki promotion.
Yeah, and he didn't even have to win the Yu Show. I think it was just enough for him to get over that 32 wins. And it would have been awesome to see two people promoted into Ozeki. Because, yeah, he was at 21 wins, so you needed at least 11 wins. And some of those matches, I mean, that's the difference of 3 wins. Like, you beat some of the guys that you lost, you take victories there. You're up for Ozeki promotion, too.
And to be fair, thinking about it, looking at it now, like, Shodai had 2 walkover wins.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, that's the difference. Shodai had 2 walkover wins. Mataki Umi didn't.
Shodai did not.
Excuse me. I was thinking about somebody else.
Asanoyama had the 2.
Asanoyama. That's what I was thinking of. Yes. Yeah. But those 2 wins, if they were walkover, could have made a bit of a difference, you know, especially when they came.
Yeah.
You would have been, you know, 10-5 instead of 8-7. It's weird how that record looks so much better.
Yeah, when you see the double digits, even like 9-6 looks so different from 8-7. Just like one extra win just looks so much different than just like, oh, you barely got over the hump. But yeah, like when you start to see double digits, which this tournament I think only had like 7 or 8 guys that had more than, there's like 9 guys who had double digits wins, but yeah, like Kota Shoho had 10, which we didn't even cover him. Like,
yeah, Kota Shoho looked good the whole time.
Yeah, so, you know, you see the 10 wins, and, like, that's a good tournament. Like, if you go 10-5, that's a great tournament.
So, and to go back to my surprise, honestly, Takakesho, I'm glad that he was able to – he didn't have the best tournament last tournament. He went 8-4-3. Before that, he was 7-8. So, he – was pretty consistent. His three losses came from, you know, Shodai.
Yep.
And, Hakuto Fuji, like I said, and Tochinoshin, who Henka'd him.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's, you lose one to a Henka, one to the guy who won the tournament, and Hakuto Fuji is no pushover. So,
yeah.
I think that's a really good showing for him at Ozeki. Yeah. And I didn't think he had it in him. I was totally expecting this to just be a, you know, get your eight wins and then, you know, you don't have to worry about it anymore kind of showing. But
mm-hmm.
12 is real good for him, I think. And I got to take a second look at him, I think, because now he's been Ozeki for five tournaments. So he's clearly good enough.
Yeah, and get through Fukuoka and you'll have a full year of him at Ozeki. I think it's a good measuring point at that point where you're like, okay, he could be for real. We'll see if this group stays consistent. And like, that's really what I want is, you know, I'm excited. I'm guessing Shodai is going to get up. He'll probably be promoted up, if not already.
I think he's already been. I think it's been confirmed already. But yeah.
I feel like it would be a weird point not to promote him. Like,
I think he's got everything he needs to get up there. But yeah, I mean, and for what I'm looking forward to in the next tournament, I want to see how the Sonic Otake guys do.
Mm-hmm.
Koto Shoho's up there all the time. Koto Echoes has been bouncing around up there too. Koto Nowaka.
He'll get a bounce back up. He'll go
back. He'll be back in Magashira again. Hopefully Koto Shikiku gets to stay up there too.
Yep.
Koto Yuki might come up too. I think he was 9-7.
He was 8-7.
Eight and seven.
He could. Yeah. There was a couple lower end guys like Shimanobi's probably gonna get dropped down. Kyoko Taisei with the injury will go down. Shohozan will get dropped down. So there's enough wiggle room where I think, like, Ikioi's 3-12. Unfortunately, I always want him to do better. But yeah, Koto Yuki and Koto Nowaka will both come up.
Can have five Koto boys back in the.
That's what I'm hoping.
Shira ranks again potentially.
And I always look like way down the line at, like, I always like looking at the Sanada Gotake guys, and there's some guys hanging out in Makushita who, you know, keep an eye on a little bit. I think Ora, not Sada Gotake, but someone who was up like a couple years ago. Ora, he was another really small guy, a lot of muscles.
Oh, yeah, Ora, yeah.
Yeah, he'll be up in Juryo again, so that'll be exciting for people who are big fans of him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's a lot of Sada Gotake guys that are in the pipeline.
Yeah, in the pipe.
In the pipe. Get ready to get the call up.
All right. I don't know. You got anything else you want to add, or should we wrap this one up?
No, I just I guess one little cool fact that I thought was kind of neat was Hoshoryu was another young guy. He's 8-7. He was Magashira 16. He's actually the nephew of Asashoryu, the former Yokozuna who won 25 tournaments. So, you know, I guess keep an eye on him, maybe with his family line that, you know, the expectation for him will be high, but who knows? So it's a cool name to keep an eye on. Just thought that was a fun fact.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's a good thing to bring up. I had no idea.
Yeah. That's why we watched a variation of different, sumo coverage locations, social media and some websites and, you know, NHK, and each of them give something different. And that's why it's always nice to catch a little bit of everything. So you learn different things here and there.
Yeah. All right. So, We'll go ahead and wrap this up. Thanks for listening. You can check out all of our podcasts at supersumobrothers.com. Each episode we upload and put it on the website. It's also on Spotify. We have a Twitter at supersumobrothers.
Correct.
Supersumo Bros.
I think it's Supersumo Bros.
Supersumo Bros.
and we know our own Twitter handle.
Yeah, I know. We're super professional. We tweet stuff out there sometimes, and you know, when we put new posts up, it goes out there, I believe.
Yep.
And go ahead and check us out, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Take it easy.